Grace, mercy, and peace to all of you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Not like us. Dr. Barry, the president of our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, laid out a three-year vision statement. While in 1996 the focus was on our relationships with our families and friends, in 1997 the focus was toward the doctrinal heritage of our synod and how the faith we confess gives us the desire and willingness to serve the Lord where He places us in this life. For 1998, the focus is going to be on giving the Word and ourselves in grateful service to others as a response to all that God has done for us through Jesus Christ. And further states, caring for one another with special emphasis on people not like us. When you hear those words, people not like us, what are some of the visions that you see in your mind's eye? Perhaps someone that you've just seen recently in a wheelchair, in a department store, or perhaps you recall a visit to the hospital, someone who had just suffered a stroke when was completely paralyzed, or perhaps you noticed how there was a man walking with a stick, White's cane, and was tapping the sidewalk and finding his way through the streets or through the stores. Or perhaps you remember a person who has a label of mental retardation, maybe someone who is not able to communicate, or who some have considered as not able to learn. It may be in a classroom, in a school, someone who has difficulty in keeping up with all the rest of the classmates in their studies, or someone who may be distracted so easily by other things. We may have visions of who these people are, but that's just the point. They are people. Those hurting people around us who may not be like us, and they are defined as, we think of minorities, the poor, the handicapped, and others whom we may overlook. And I think that last particular phrase is important, those whom we may overlook. If you have visited with someone who has a so-called handicap or disability, you may find them often saying, as some parents do, I have to advocate for my son or daughter when it comes to school, when it comes to therapies and medical assistance. I have to constantly advocate for my son in terms of the services that he deserves and needs in order that he might be the full person that he is, and now I have to also advocate with the church. There are stories by parents that are told that in some cases where a pastor has refused to baptize their child because the child carries a label of mental retardation. There are parents who say that they are not welcome in their church to worship or to participate in the life of the church and have sometimes been told, why are you bringing your son or daughter here? Not like us. And yet, they are like us. I'd like to refer you to Romans chapter 3. What shall we conclude then? Are we any better? Not at all. We have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles are alike, are all under sin, as it is written. There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways, and the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. They are more like us than unlike us. The blind who cannot see also recognize their inadequacies, not just because of their physical inadequacies, but because they cannot stand before God as whole. The deaf long to hear the word of God, but also because of their deafness have the opportunity to hear that word in another way, if only they could. They're not so much unlike us in terms of their needs to be loved and to know that they are loved, to hear of Him who is love and who brings life. As you entered this morning and saw the baptismal font, reminds us again of how God in His grace has embraced us all, and He seeks all of us to be a part of His family. And never in the miracles that Jesus performed did He relegate anyone to the position of not being worthy of His love and His care. Recently, as I was reading the Gospel of John, I read about Nicodemus. No, Nicodemus didn't have any known physical disabilities, but he was rendered helpless and unable because of his fear for himself and his own life. And Jesus patiently listened to him in that night and then said to him in encouraging words, "Whoever believes in me shall have eternal life." In John chapter 4, you meet the Samaritan woman at the well, and Jesus sits there and converses with this woman. And she is convinced that this is the Christ, and so she goes back and tells her family and friends and invites them to come and see. And Jesus' words to them is, whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. And in John chapter 5, you have the story of the Jewish leaders who condemn Jesus for healing on the Sabbath and for calling God his Father, and also claiming equal rank with God, or that he himself was God. And they accuse him of blasphemy. And Jesus' reminder to them is, whoever hears my word and believes, him who sent me has eternal life. Whoever hears, whoever drinks, whoever believes has life from the life giver, Jesus himself. Who can deny them? Who can deny Clifford, who was under confirmation instruction for a number of years? Because it was hard for him to grasp all that God was revealing about his love for him. But when the day of confirmation came, he stood before his congregation, his fellow believers. And when the pastor asked him, "Clifford, do you believe in God the Father?" Clifford didn't wait for the other questions. He turned around to the congregation and he said, "I do believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost," in clear words and with firm conviction. Or Donna, who can deny Donna of her faith and trust in the promise of God that someday he would deliver her into his eternal realms, where she would no longer have to sit in a wheelchair that she was confined to, but she would be able to jump and walk and praise the Lord with with her whole life. Or Norma. Norma, who during her 63 years of life never uttered a word, but found ways to communicate her profound faith and trust in Jesus, her Savior, by using a finger. And with her finger, she could make more people understand what she was saying. With her finger, she could point to words and create sentences. With her finger, she could also remind us to pray. As she served on the Human Rights Committee, advocating for her fellow residents, she would often remind people, if they did not do so, when she thought it was time, she would point her finger and everybody knew, it's time to pray and ask the Lord to guide us and to call on His presence. Or Jennifer, who was very hyperactive, who could hardly sit in the pew for a couple of seconds at a time, and who also made a lot of extra noises in ways of her way of communicating something that many people have never learned to understand, even to this day. But Jennifer was a member of the cast of the Christmas service, and in that Christmas service, she sat for 10 minutes at the creche of Jesus. As other things were happening, as songs were sung, scriptures were read, Jennifer sat quietly in her praise of Jesus and honoring His name. People not like us are more like us than they are different. God has brought us together. His word is whoever. His promise is to all. And so may we, led by the Spirit, move forward to proclaim His word of salvation to all, including those who may not be like us or appear to be like us, and see them as people who were redeemed by Jesus' blood and sacrifice, who were sanctified by the Holy Spirit, who are created and preserved by God the Father to be His very own. Remember Jesus' promise to you, to me, to all. Whoever believes in me shall have eternal life. God grant this. Amen.